Dear friends, the question I posed at the beginning of the service is one I bring back up. Is it real or is it fake? It's a question that's become very hot in the last 10 years. I actually think it's kind of trendy. It's kind of very relevant. Is it real or is it fake? When we come to the determination that something is fake, we really don't give that person or that item any part of our hearts or our lives. It's fake. It's not real. But if something is real, we determine that it's real, we give our attention. We might even give our devotion to that person or whatever it is. Take, for example, this morning, a silly little example here this morning. If I were to come in here this morning and put on this outfit, like this here. What's the matter? I washed my hair this morning. I went down to the barber shop yesterday and got the special down in Philomath. See, I could go through a whole bunch of statements about how this is real. How many of you actually think this is real on top of my head? Nobody? Wally, thank you. I will. Yes.
It's an improvement.
All right. Elders, were you listening? Elders, we've got some work to do here. Now, you guys know me. You guys know who I really am. And you know that I am hopelessly bald. And I've been pretty much hopelessly bald since I was 23 years old. It's tough. Now, when you were calculating whether that hair on the top of my head was real or fake, you realized that it was fake, but you probably did some other things as well as you were calculating if it was fake. You were probably saying, is Pastor going through a midlife crisis? Pastor seems a little off here this morning. My goodness, what did he eat for breakfast? Is it real? Is it fake? Hot question in today's society. We actually pose that question on a whole bunch of particular things. Think about the news. Is the news fake or is it real? Have you heard that? Is that social media post, is it fake or is it real? Is that politician, is he fake or is he real? Is that product fake or real? Is that religion fake or real? Is Jesus fake or is he real? Okay, I thought you might say that. We're in church here this morning. That's the right answer, of course. Jesus is the right answer for everything. And that he's real. Amen. Totally true. Now, Luke's gospel account, Luke 23, I actually think this little question is the key of Luke 23. Luke is posing in the description of Jesus' crucifixion this little question. Is he the real king or is he a fake king? Now, someone said he's absolutely real here this morning. You get a prize this morning. Joyce, we'll have to give that person a prize from your bucket. But hold on a second. There's good reason to come to the conclusion, especially if you're living at the time of Luke 23, that he was fake. I won't tell you why. Back when this was described, we believe Luke 23 was written, Jesus died in AD 33. Scholars believe that in AD 40, how many Christians do you think were on earth in AD 40? We're pretty sure about this. There were 5,000 Christians 7 years after the death and crucifixion of Jesus. It's not that many people. Not that many people at all. If you read Luke's gospel, it actually gives details that not too many people came to the conclusion that Jesus was the real king. There's just a few of them. I'll rattle off the ones that actually did. The criminal on the cross, in today's text, he says, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. He thought Jesus was real, absolutely. A Roman centurion says at the crucifixion, surely this was a righteous man. A group of ladies, it's in verse 55 and verse 56. We didn't read it today, but you can check it out. They received Jesus' body down from the cross. And then finally, there's this guy named Joseph of Arimathea. That's a very wealthy man, and he treats the body of Jesus with spices and ointments and this sort of thing. That's it. That's it. Where are the disciples when Jesus is crucified? They've wandered off. The other groups that were there and witnessed this entire thing, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Romans, the academics, the scribes, they all came to the conclusion that yes, Jesus was a fake king. That's why they put the inscription there in our gospel text. He says he's king of the Jews. He's fake. The reality of it is, if we were there during this historic moment, it would be hard to go against the groupthink. Most people thought he was a fake king. Yikes. There's other good reasons to come to a realization that he was a fake. He didn't really act like a king. Don't most kings show power? Genghis Khan stretched his empire all the way from China all the way to Eastern Europe. Alexander the Great, 3 centuries before Jesus, captured the entire Central Asia section and conquered the Persian Empire. Jesus, does he show power? He dies on a cross. Kings don't do that. Kings beat their enemies, or they get rid of them. Herod the Great is right around the same time as Jesus. He killed 3 of his sons. He knocked off all his competitors to the throne. Julius Caesar, he's about 50 years before Jesus. He knocked off all of his competitors. How does Jesus do with his enemies? Well, at the end of our text here, the scribes, the academics, those who are in Jerusalem, the elites, they're still living. Jesus, he's dead. Don't kings enslave people? Jesus never enslaved anyone, never captured anyone, never conquered any territory. Don't kings write books about themselves and what they've accomplished? Julius Caesar inscribed in all his columns all his victories. Jesus never wrote a book. He doesn't do anything that like what kings do. Jesus, maybe he is a fake king. I don't know. But there's one deeper reason, I believe, why people thought that Jesus was a fake king. It's the same reason why most people today actually think he's a fake king. Really think that's right here in this text here. Most of the people at the crucifixion of Jesus put conditions on whether they would believe in him. Whenever you put conditions on believing in a person, you're going to probably come to the conclusion that they're fake. The criminal on the cross, the criminal that didn't believe Jesus, poses this question to Jesus. Jesus, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us, he says to Jesus on the cross. In other words, he was putting conditions on Jesus. Jesus, I will not believe in you unless you save yourself and save me. If you stay up there on the cross, I'm not going to believe in you. He put conditions on believing in Jesus. Every single person or group that was around there and came to the conclusion that Jesus was a fake did the same thing. James and John, as disciples, Jesus, you're not really real to us unless my brother gets the place right next to you and I get the place right next to you over here. Conditions. The Sadducees, they would have believed in Jesus if he would have kicked the Romans out of the region. Those who were the Pharisees, they would have believed in Jesus if he would have quoted more from their rabbis and their teachers. They put conditions on believing in Jesus. Friends, that is probably the main reason why most people did not come to the conclusion that Jesus was the real king. They wanted Jesus to meet them at their expectations, at their desires, at their dreams. And whenever you do that, whatever relationship it is, if you put conditions on the relationship, most likely it comes to a point where you realize that person is a fake. Have you ever had a relationship where you've put no conditions on your relationship? When Alicia and I were married, we said the traditional vows to each other. I want to tell you about that here this morning. We said those typical words, to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for in sickness and in health, till death us do part, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. And I want you to know, when the pastor Lisansky, was saying these vows, the pastor kind of shares the first part and the person repeats right after him. When Elisha was saying her vows, she actually spoke them before the pastor had even finished. That's how excited she was to get married. Do you remember that, honey? Yeah? I remember it. But what those vows say is that there's no conditions on this relationship. None. We didn't say this. I promise to love and cherish you as long as Monday night football goes on uninterrupted. Not in the vows. There's conditions. I promise to love you as long as there are foot massages before we go to bed every single night. No conditions. And the beautiful thing about that relationship is as we've grown as husband and wife, as we've made many mistakes as husband and wife, we realize that there actually are no conditions on the relationship. And when you have faults and then there are no conditions, you realize the relationship is real. It's powerful. It's real. There's a connection. The second criminal on the cross places no conditions on Jesus. That's the difference. Jesus, I'm a criminal. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus did not say, hey, hold on a minute. Why don't you think about that for a little while and maybe come back to me and then you can come into my kingdom. Or he didn't say, well, you know what? Why don't you clean up your life, and once you've cleaned it up, then come back to me, and then you can get into my kingdom. Jesus on the spot said to the criminal on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Here's the good news, friends, for you this morning. Jesus puts no conditions on you. No conditions. When the thief on the cross came, Jesus didn't say, hey, you need to clean up your act and come back and figure things out. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. As I've experienced people that have come into the church, I've heard these things before. I'm not making this up. Someone once, many of these people expressed the thought that they could never receive unconditional love from Jesus. One person came to our church and said this at a funeral. They're not here today. They said, if I enter the church, the foundations of Peace Lutheran Church will shake because of what I've done. Another person sadly said, my goodness, I can't attend Peace Lutheran Church because I don't have the right clothing to wear. I need to go buy clothing before I come to that place. Another person struggled with the idea that they needed to make everything right with the person that they've harmed out in the community and in their family before they would ever come to church. That's not unconditional love. God knows you. He knows the problems that you have. He knows the hurts that you have. He knows the sins that you've committed. He knows what you walked in here with that's hanging heavy on your heart that you don't want to tell anyone else. God knows it. He sees it. And God says to you, today you will be with me in paradise. At Peace Lutheran Church, you never have to clean up to look good before Jesus. He loves you and gives you his forgiveness unconditionally on the spot. When your sins are forgiven, the pastor or vicar, we never say, hey, you know what? Clean up next week and then come back. Maybe we can give you forgiveness. Forgiveness and absolution comes immediately when sins are confessed. Unconditional love. A funny thing happened in Christianity. It's true. In AD 40, just 7 years after Jesus' death and crucifixion, there were only 5,000 Christians. That's it. Hardly any. That's a small little religion, actually. Something happened. Very strange. 250 years passed by, and in about 300 AD, guess how many Christians there were? 300 million in 65,000 house churches. No buildings. No churches, no political power, no money, nothing. What caused that? Was it the Holy Spirit? Yes, of course it was the Holy Spirit. But people realized that Jesus was real. More to the point, they realized that Jesus' love was unconditional and real for them. And so it is for you. What will convince us if Jesus is fake or real? We could go through a debate here at church and have two sides listed out, and we can go back and forth. We could have all the information in the world that wouldn't solve the day if Jesus was real or fake. You know what will solve the day? If we realize that his love is unconditional and real for us. Jesus loves you very much, unconditionally. That's what makes him the true king. Amen. Let's pray about that this morning. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we live in a world where it's really hard to tell if something is real or if something is fake. Lord, we thank you that there's no phoniness with Jesus. And that as we seek through the Gospels and the information about Jesus, we thank you that there's one thing that is the linchpin argument, that his love for us is unconditional and real. May it pierce our hearts, may we feel it, and live under that love for our entire life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.